Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. So, Father, right now I ask that you bless the word as it comes forth. Holy Spirit, I ask you to speak through me. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to take this word and minister it deep into the hearts of those that so need to hear what you have to say about them personally, God. Help them to know, Jesus, that you love them with your very life. That your very life was laid down because you're of your deep love for us. And God, Lord, I just pray for revelation that we will know that you love us and loved us with your very life. And Lord, because you did that, we will give our lives to you and live our lives for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm just going to go back into my series on rejection because I'm not done. You know, a few weeks ago, I was at a conference, and I got this lady's name, and I might have her come next week if I can. But anyway, it was actually an African-American church, and they do the dance, and they do a whole lot more of that type of stuff than we white people do, okay? And I'll tell you what, it's anointed. It is anointed. And I've seen some really, really good, almost like where they do I don't want to say human video, but they act out kind of what the song says. And then they also do the worship. And I've been in some that when they've done the worship, it was like you just want to lay on your face before God. Because, it ushers in the presence of God. That is very much a part of scriptural worship to dance before the Lord. But this lady, she did a single thing, and I've never seen this before, and it was so good, it made you want to weep. I mean, oh my goodness. And it was on who we are and how much he loves us. And I thought, wow, that'd be a good way to end rejection series, wouldn't it? You know, but I've never seen it. She does it kind of like with a sign language, but she doesn't know sign language, but the Holy Spirit has taught her how to do a sign language that, I mean, literally just goes right into your heart. So anyway, if I can get her, if I can't get her this next week, I'll get her anyway, because she said she'd come. Okay, we've been talking about rejection, and I had also read to you out of the Bible that where it talks about in Isaiah 53, Jesus on the cross took everything that is anything that we would ever deal with. So anything that gets kind of dumped on us is there illegally in the fact that it was taken by Jesus, okay? When the church gets fed up, and we need to get that way, we need to just plain get fed up and quit being beaten down. You know, when the devil beats people down, but he does it with purpose, all right? Because sometimes we can, and the kind of beating that he does, I mean, and I know there's a place of physical beating and that wounds, but sometimes nothing more probably than things that hit us in our emotions and you know, where we really, really care. And he does it to try to keep you from getting back up. And like I just said, when we get to the point where we get fed up, see, where if we live in a mindset of just being beaten down and unworthy and no good, you don't get up, you see. So if you've been through that in your life, that should kind of help you understand the tactics behind it and the schemes that were behind that. There were specific, you know, just like God, from the very foundation of the earth, put destiny on every single person. Every one of you have a God-given destiny. Amen? You don't want my destiny, and I don't want yours. Because when we stand before the Lord, we want our rewards for what we did. That's why it is so important that we do and step into the positions we're called into, because my rewards only will come as I fulfill the destiny of Bev Tucker, not Evelyn Gibson, you see? But in that, if the enemy, just like God from the very foundation, had a destiny for you, a plan and a purpose. The devil's plan and purpose was to totally get us off track. You see, he wants to, especially the body of Christ, He, it was bad enough when Adam and Eve were on this earth and they were given authority. But oh my goodness, when the church rose up and she was given authority, that was worse. So we, the church, literally are the devil's worst enemy. That's who we are. We are not just created in his image, but we are literally indwelt by the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. Jesus lives in you. Okay? So when we get to the place, and like I said, I want you to think on these things, because if you will understand that some of what you've gone through has been purposeful by the enemy to put you under his thumb, to destroy you, to keep you from rising up and fulfilling your destiny. Because it has a tendency to weaken us and make us feel unworthy, but you're worthy because Jesus made you worthy. You see, so when you judge yourself as unworthy, really you're saying what you did, Jesus, wasn't good enough. And could it get any better than the cross? It says that he was made sin, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So if I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you don't get any better than that. Think on that. You cannot get any better than what we are. And so we are so good, so awesome, so much better because of him in us, that it says literally, when he exalted Jesus to the highest position he could. And I think I tell that in one of my teachings on angels. I think, or no, it's on authority. But you know what? He could not have exalted man any higher than what he did, born again man, without breaching the Godhead. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? You see? And it says in Ephesians that we have been made to sit with him, given joint seating with him, all right? That doesn't sound like no scummy, unworthy person to me, does it to you? You see? So you have to make sure your identity lines up with Jesus. That's your place as a believer, all right? So what do? The Bible tells you to cast down imaginations, cast down thoughts, anything that wants to exalt itself above the knowledge of God. Well, number one, what is the knowledge of God? You are the righteousness of God. See, this book here is the knowledge of God, isn't it? You see, this is truth. So if something comes and tells me a thought or a voice that, you know, I can't do this, or I'm not worth this, or I have to stay in lack, or I have to stay in poverty, or I'm depressed, or whatever, it's endeavoring to exalt itself above the knowledge of God. And God tells us we're to bring that into captivity. Amen? So again, whatever you deal with, go back to the cross. Jesus totally and completely took the entire human being and paid for him on the cross. So everything was paid on the cross. Everything, all your failures, all your mistakes, all of your generational junk, all of your, whatever you do wrong was paid for, all right? But sometimes we focus more on that than the cross. We focus more on ourselves, our failures, than our mighty God who paid for all of it on the cross. You see what I'm saying? So if that's our thinking, you got to get your stinking thinking in line with the word of God. That's why we renew our minds, isn't it? Okay, because we've been in the darkness. We've been in prior to Christ. And see, once we come to Christ, you know, we need to get delivered of that, and we need to start renewing our minds so we start thinking in alignment. See, when the church starts thinking like God, can you think like God? I would say so if he tells you to get your thinking lined up with it, right? You know, probably not ever get as good as he is in that, but I mean, we can sure improve. And so when we begin to line our thinking and then what comes out of that with him, see, then we're going to go in and begin to really thrive, aren't we? See, just like with that song, we were made to thrive, not survive. You're not here to just get through this life. He said, I'm going to take you to the shore safely. And so we know we're going to all get there, you know. But in the time that you're going through, it doesn't mean you won't have obstacles and things not hitting on you. I'll tell you what, if you were the devil, who would you try to stumble up the most? The church. Who's, do you think the world is a threat to him? No. Do you think we are? Who's seated at the right hand of the Father? The world is not. The church is, you see. And Jesus said, rule in the midst of your enemies. So we are the ones that are to see these things through discerning of the Holy Spirit, and then we are begin to rule. So you don't allow garbage to rule in your life. First we start here, and then we work, let God work it out to other people. So anyway, if also I was going to tell you too, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you need to come forward today. I think we are going to do some prayer today after the class. Come and be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Or if you've never received Jesus Christ, number one, as your Lord and Savior, you need to do that first, okay? Because the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not for the world. It's for the born-again believer, all right? But he freely gives it to us. Freely gives us the fullness of his Spirit so we can have all that. And once you've got the Holy Spirit, then you start walking that. But again, you have to choose to believe. You have to choose to line yourself up with the cross. Let me read this to you. It says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down. And this is what we are to do, to overthrow, destroy strongholds. This is Amplified Version, and I'm even expounding on that a little different. So, preach it, amen. And we are to destroy speculations. Okay, how many of us speculate? See, another translation talks about speculating. We are to destroy ungodly speculations. What does that mean? Okay, if I'm speculating the worst to happen, that's ungodly. I speculate good things, you know? So again, if we're going to have, if we're going to destroy speculations, you never want to destroy a good speculation. Of how many of you ever, you expect to go out and raise the dead, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, drive out the demons? See, we should get excited about doing that because that's who the church was made, that's what the church was made to do. You see, but so many of the people in the church are bound, and then we come and we get delivered, which I think you have to do that right after you get saved, so you can move forward faster, and then begin to see who you are and begin to walk that out. And in that process of walking that out, yes, you are going to have to speak to some things, all this self-doubt, all this here that I'm just talking about, all this self-rejection, self-hate, unworthiness, depression, you have to speak to it. Jesus said, whosoever will say, whosoever, to the mountain, be removed. So he didn't say, if you got a mountain, come to me, ask me, and I'll just speak to that mountain. He didn't, did he? He said, you, whosoever would say. So we need to really just, you know, pull up our bootstraps and start saying. It's not about how happy you feel, how joyful, how victorious you feel. You just got to play and start doing it. If you wait till you feel victorious, devil will keep you down in the muck. It's like, oh, that one's going to be easy. All I got to do is walk all over them and they'll never rise up and say. Because the devil's afraid of what you're going to say. Because of the power in your words. Do you know we can speak death or we can speak life? Jesus, the Proverbs 18, I think it's 21, says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Okay? Both of those are to operate for you. Neither of them against you. When you speak death, it ought to be speaking death to cancer, speaking death to a bad situation, and then putting life into it through the words. Okay? But you don't speak death to yourself. You don't speak death to the things that God wants in your life. But yes, Jesus cursed the fig tree, didn't he? He spoke death to that tree for a purpose. We can speak death, but we should speak death purposefully to destroy the works of darkness. See, a lot of people think, oh, I just can't say nothing negative. No, you need to purposely speak death to certain things. Cancer needs to have death spoken to it, not life. Okay? So it goes on to say, then, inasmuch we refute arguments. That means we, look at the word refute. I haven't done that, but you know what? When you refute something, you tell it, no. You don't have a right to be here. You see? And see, when you establish yourself as the righteousness of God, which is probably one of the major things that you need to do immediately as a believer or soon after believing, that you literally are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Why? Because he made you that. No other way. You could never become righteous on your own. He just said, here it is. So, okay, I either take it or I don't. So, again, why do I have the authority to refute arguments? I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. There's no argument there with me on that one. If you came and told me I was unrighteous, I'd go, oh, well, just be gone. You know, I know who I am. You see, he was made sin for me, Bev Tucker, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You cannot get any better than that. There is no greater force on the earth than believers who know they are the righteousness of God and they have the word of God, just like Jesus did, coming out of their mouth. In Revelations chapter 1, it says it came with a two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. What was that? Speaking the word of God. And the word of God, literally out of the mouth of a believer, can literally destroy works of darkness. So again, you can see why he wants to keep you under. He wants to keep you where you're feeling you have no value. You're not good enough. So if you're always judging yourself, and I told you last week, I think it was when I was here, you might have been through some hard places. Everybody's been through some hard places. Yours might be a little bit worse than others, but you still have the same Jesus we all have, right? So therefore, that Jesus is just as able to pull you up as he is the next person. All right? So it's up to you then to allow him. It's up to you then to say, okay, God, if you said this, I'm going to believe it, and I am going to start speaking to these things. I'm going to start driving them out. I'm going to drive them away from me, you know, and out of your family. And some of those things might be pretty resistant. See, this is another trick the enemy uses. When things are resistant, we also give up a lot of times. Don't give up. You know, if we went, well, I guess we're back in Iraq, okay? But if we went to Iraq and we started going into Iraq to battle and we get about this far and we start suffering some losses and we start getting, you know, where we're really having a hard time there, if we quit right there and go back, what did we accomplish? So what should that be a sign of? Actually, it should be a sign that our government needs to really get back. If we're going to do it, let's quit playing with it, all right? Let's get in. Is this not a great nation? We are a great nation. Could we not go in? And are we not a force to be reckoned with? Why? Because God's calling is on this nation, okay? But see, just like what the United States Army and the different services ought to do is when if it gets tough, just push force harder, you see, and go in and take the battle. Take the battle. See, that's how we as believers should be. Just because you get some resistance in this warfare doesn't mean you've lost. It means you need to press in a little bit harder, stand stronger, take this word, let it be coming out of your mouth and say, I'm not moving. Having done all to stand, stand. See, that's victory because we know. You see? We know. You get a bad report. Whose report are you going to choose to believe? What's ever out there or this one right here? You see? So, again, going back to this, and I want to read this in Isaiah. It says, he was despised and rejected and forsaken by men. He was a man of sorrows and a man of grief. Okay, and he was acquainted with sickness like one whom men hide their faces. So this scripture here, it's verse 3 out of Isaiah 53. literally talks about Jesus, or yeah, verse 3. He was hated and rejected and forsaken. That means abandoned. All right, so if Jesus was rejected, why? So you don't have to walk in rejection. Somebody paid that for you. That means you don't have to walk in that insecurity, that unworthiness. All right? So in casting out a spirit of rejection, you also want to put in the Word of God to replace it so you can see who you are. All right? So anyway. All right. Talking about rejection. Galatians 4:7 says, "Wherefore thou art," or "you are no more a servant, but you're a son or a daughter. If a son or a daughter, then you are an heir of God through Jesus Christ." If I'm an heir, it belongs to me. Amen? So if we, the church, rises up, and she's going to get this. She is. But if we, the church, start rising up and realize it all belongs to us. It all belongs to us. So we, therefore, can begin to dictate how things are going to go. We never want to forget, until Jesus comes and throws him in the lake of fire, we're going to have an enemy. But I'm still the heir. You see? So just because the going gets a little rough out there, don't back down. Because those are obstacles he purposely puts in there because he knows what a threat you are to his kingdom if you really get up and get a hold of this. Once you start taking off all these weights and throwing them aside, you see. So refuse your to be under that thumb of the devil. There, you are no more a servant, but a son and a daughter. Isn't that good? That simply means that you've been given status. You've been given position. That's why from a servant to a son or a daughter, you've been placed in a position and with a very high status. Okay, so that's why he's wanting us to see. You're not like anybody else out there. There's nobody else actually out there like us. We are a breed, a race all that's unique. And that unique race is anyone who is called upon the name of Jesus. So anyway, Psalm 39, and I'm going to read that a little bit later here, but it's such a good one because it talks about how you were made and conceived and how important you are to God. You're wonderfully made, all right? And God's never lost sight of that. The spirit of rejection is a living being. It's a living entity. And it gets its enjoyment from being rejected. So if you feel like you're being rejected all the time when you come to church or wherever you go, that thing is really enjoying itself. You're letting it eat off of you. You're feeding it. See what I'm saying? If you starve something, an example of that is this. And I've said this so many times, but one day, like I say, I had somebody come up to the altar and said, to me, Bev, they said, "I have felt like you have never liked me." When the person said that to me, I didn't know who that person was. But you see that rejection and how it was getting its enjoyment from her feeling like I was always, and I didn't even know who she was. You see, one time I went out to the foyer and I saw somebody I didn't know, and I said, "Oh, you know, hey," and I started introduce myself and said, "How long have you been coming to church?" You know, I thought maybe a week or so. Month. They'd been here for 2 years. I'd never seen them before. Why? Because I always sit up there, and usually by the time I get out, everybody's gone, you see? So I can a lot of times recognize faces, but that doesn't mean I'm always going to remember or might not even see you, but that doesn't mean I reject you, you see? So when you're dealing with rejection, and the reason I'm just giving that as an example, is that you need to know that rejection gets its enjoyment from being rejected. It feeds on that. See? So right there, if you're feeling rejected, you're letting that thing eat off of you. And you ought to get mad about that too and tell it to get in the name of Jesus. You have the authority. You know, you should pray, "Holy Spirit, help me recognize that thing when it comes, or other spiritual forces, all right? Because normally they come with a thought, with a voice, trying to get your thinking along a certain line, all right? Even if it's in the area of finances, okay? You can have a speculation, and we were talking about here that we're to take and destroy speculations, but how many of you speculate not having enough? See, we should speculate blessing and overflow, because God's on your side. Now, the devil might try to tell you he's not, but he is. You see, that's why you keep pressing. That's why you don't pull back. Okay, in the army, because you're in the army. You're in the service of the Lord. And he expects us to go in and dispossess the enemy and possess the land. Possess literally what the cross paid for us. Okay, 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, since these great promises are ours, all these things, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that contaminates and defiles body and spirit, and bring our consecration to completeness in the reverential fear of the Lord. Okay, so it's talking here about, I thought this was an interesting scripture, and this is why I think I put it down, was the fact it says, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that wants to defile in body and spirit. And that was 2 Corinthians 7:1. So a lot of believers say, well, my spirit cannot be defiled. Well, Paul just told you to cleanse your spirit. Right? And then in second, because people say, well, the Holy Spirit lives in me. Well, yes, he does. He does. But there's areas of our lives, and some people will argue this point and whatever. I really don't care. But what I have found in deliverance is that there are certain things that can defile the spirit of man. If it says in Corinthians that, I think chapter 6, out of the first book of Corinthians, that to join yourself with a prostitute, you become one. So would a man join himself to a prostitute and make Christ one with a prostitute? You can read it yourself. Okay, so in doing that, if I could become one with something like that, what am I? I'm a spirit. I have a soul, and I live in a body. You see? See, so we have to, that's what he's talking about here, is to cleanse ourselves. And I don't believe a Christian can be possessed by any means. Possession is ownership, all right? And that literally is when he has all three areas under his control, all right? But we are still told to cleanse ourselves from anything that's going to contaminate us. Those thoughts that you, Jesus' words are spirit and life. The devil's words then would be the opposite, wouldn't they? Spirit and death, you see. So when you're listening to what's coming your way, is it speaking life to you? Are those thoughts that you're thinking, or is it speaking death to you? See, that's one of the major ways that the enemy attacks us, is through our thought life, through the our way we think. And a lot of things that we think on, we filter. And some of us really are, the devil can just have a heyday with us because we filter a lot of times the things we think from past experiences, past words that have been spoken to us, or past failures, all right? That's what it talks about, getting these things out. That's deliverance. Speak to the mountain, command it to go, and then begin to see who you are in Christ. You're made of good stuff, okay? 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved sound and complete and blameless at the coming of the Lord. Rejection wants to defile the whole personality. In other words, it wants to cripple you. That rejection cripples you. Rejection wants to halt you. I really believe there's almost a spirit that you could call a spirit of halting, where because you're so full of rejection that you don't step forward. You kind of step back, all right? That's that halting thing, because it's almost like it like a horse with a bit in its mouth, and you could pull it back. And that is, what again, why. And know that you can do this, all right? Get up here when we're praying sometime and say, you know what, I deal with a lot of rejection, you know, and have a person pray with you and start commanding that to leave. Because that spirit wants you to halt, wants to keep you from believing that, yes, God wants to bless you, that God wants to use you, all of that. That's what that halting does. It's like we'll go so far, and then we pull back because we have that spirit of rejection, and it pulls us back. And then we go back into that reasoning and filtering through what's happened to us, mostly in our childhood. All right? And like I've said to you, you cannot blame your parents. Your parents may have made mistakes. Yes. Doesn't dismiss that. But if you stay in that, that's no one's fault but your own. Okay? Why were my parents like they were? Because of what happened to them. And why were their parents like they were? Because of what happened to them. So, and on and on and on. But someplace, somebody has to say, you know what? I'm changing. That's not what I'm going to go in anymore, all right? Like, I like to tell you that a lot because the buck stops with you, yourself, personally, all right? If you're ever going to rise up, if you always focus on mom did this to me or dad did that to me, then you're never going to focus on I can do this. I can do all things through Christ. I can be what God wants me to be, all right? Okay, rejection then wants to defile your whole personality. As we go into fear and self-rejection, then our body begins to take on a profile of death. I'm going to say something else here because I just felt like the Lord told me to say this. I said, don't focus back on your parents. Focus on Christ. But you know what? If you are a parent and you've messed up, still move forward. How many of you as parents have messed up? I mean, I sure could put my hand up. Why did I make the mistakes that I made? Because I still needed a whole lot of help. When, you know, I had certain mindsets, I had behaviors. And when I met Jesus, I got saved, but a lot of those behaviors, see, I had to go through some deliverance and then I had to go through some renewal of the mind. And we were in a church for many, many years that didn't teach any of that kind of stuff. We're blessed to have a church that's teaching what y'all hear all the time here in this place. But so in that, that's the years we raised our children. So did we make mistakes? Oh my goodness, yes. But do I want to stay there in guilt and shame and hopelessness? No. You move forward because the person that will move forward can also start believing for God to do some changing in their children, you see. So you cannot stay under guilt. Guilt is a spirit that wants to condemn you. Some people say, well, guilt's good. No. Guilt holds you under its thumb. Jesus took all your guilt, didn't he? If he didn't take it, if it was good, he wouldn't have taken it. You see, the Holy Spirit convicts you and shows you of your wrongdoing and you repent. But you don't stay under the weight of guilt. All right? Because you need to be free. Okay, so rejection then defiles our whole personality. Then as we go into fear and self-rejection, our whole body takes on a profile of death because our thoughts have spiritually murdered us. And how many of you have thoughts that want to murder you sometimes as far as even your victory in Christ? You see what I'm saying? Or, you know, your finances, if you think, okay, I can never be rich. Why can't you be rich? Jesus said, let the poor say I'm rich. Now, what part of that don't we get? We should be saying that. Why? Because it's an expectation or it's a speculating of the good things, all right? But the devil would like to murder you spiritually, murder you in those realms by trying to get you in a mindset that what you set your hand to isn't going to prosper. But he said he'd prosper what we set our hands to, wouldn't he? Okay, again, that might be where you need to keep pressing as the army of God. Just because you get a little bit of, you get shot at a few times, you know, you still keep moving. Okay, just keep your bullet vest, your to resist that. Keep it on. Don't take it off. Okay, move forward in Christ. What is your bullet vest? It's the name of Jesus, the word of God. Helmet of salvation. Anyway, let me keep going. Okay, As God sees, okay, what it wants to do is cause you to deny your existence as God sees you. Okay, and again, anytime we look at ourselves as ineffective, inadequate, you are not seeing yourself like God sees you. Or, worse than that, as the way God made you. See, God just doesn't see you successful. It's in your DNA to be successful. Okay, you are made successful. Okay, and then so you continue in that if you don't move out of that and you begin to reject yourself and that death comes. And I'm going to talk a little bit here too about how even physical death works its way out of here and how it affects us physically. See, all of these things that I'm talking about, and whether it's in fear, stress, anxiety, rejection, bitterness, and unforgiveness, all of those things affect you physically also. So you, devil's just not trying to put you, I'm not here today to just talk about how the devil's trying to put you out spiritually. He tries to put you out physically also, okay? And Jesus paid for that on the cross too. He paid for all of it. So if it attacks you and it was paid for on the cross, it really does not have a right to be there. But who has to enforce the victory of the cross? We do. So if the church never enforces anything, see, and the more the church rises up and does it, the stronger we're going to become, isn't it? And that's in every arena. The more people we get that are being healed, but not just being healed, but learning how to walk in their healing. You see? That's going to strengthen the body. The more believers that are not only going to be prospered, but learn how to walk in their prosperity are going to start increasing, okay? Because we're building a stronger foundation underneath us by people finally stepping out and said, I'll be the one, God. He said, I looked for a man and could find none. Okay? Use me, God. I'll be the one. You know, and is that always an easy place to be in? No. But you know what? God didn't say it was going to be easy, did he? Why isn't it easy? It's not that Jesus didn't make it easy. It's because you have an enemy that wants to keep you from getting there. Okay, you can end up with all sorts of health issues. Self-pity, oh my goodness, that's Henry Wright calls that the sticky glue of hell. You know, we have to guard ourselves that we do not get full of self-pity. Poor me. Depression is a poor me focus. It really is. Okay, and I know people deal with depression, and I'm not minimizing that, but I am saying that can be the sticky glue of hell. You have to throw it off. What are you to put on? If you're to take off depression, you put on what? The garment of praise, yeah. Take on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Okay, we used to sing that song. Put on the garment of praise. How many of you remember this? For the spirit of heaviness. I shouldn't sing to you because, anyway. Okay, are you rejecting yourself? Well, oh, all right, I hear myself preach, right? God does that to me. I'll say something, then he go look in the mirror, girl. Do that yourself. Okay, are you rejecting yourself instead of loving yourself? If so, you are disagreeing with God and opening up yourself to death, at least in some form. When you have an autoimmune disease, some of the components of an autoimmune disease, and this is how it attacks people also. And you may not have an autoimmune disease, but how many of you have a very, I don't want you to raise your hands, but maybe your immune system operates at a very low level and you get everything. See, some of these things, by you dealing with them, helps you again, because these things, again, we were made to be in harmony, spirit, soul, and body. And see, so if you have like a self-hatred or an unworthiness, you are throwing yourself out of harmony, spirit, soul, and body. And it does affect us, okay? So the self-hatred, the bitterness, the fear, all of that operates against us in the emotional realm, the soul, and again in the spirit, but it affects the body. See, it's an outworking of those from the spirit and the soul to attack your body. And God made our immune systems to fully and totally function so that it wards off all disease. A strong immune system will always keep you healthy because Jesus made it. God made it that way. All right? But there are things that will deplete that. and cause it to actually literally attack itself, which I'm going to talk to you about here. But if a person has an autoimmune disease, or let's even just say a low immune-like disorder, self-hatred is always a part of that profile. As you continue, and you might say, well, I don't hate myself. Well, how many of you really are always judging yourself as unworthy, or of no value, or inadequate, or as failures, or not good enough? Or you look at everybody else and think, are unsuccessful. Maybe that would be a good way to put it. You know, that would be like in that realm of that, where you might be, what we entertain in it, the longer, see, a lot of times we deal with stuff, not when we're young physically, but when you get older, and that's because of the stresses that you've had all these years that you've never dealt with. And the stresses of not liking yourself, of always judging yourself unworthy, of rejecting yourself, or being rejected. Okay? Because remember I said rejection gets its enjoyment out of you feeling rejected or you being rejected. See, if I can be free of rejection and accept who I am in Christ, then whether you love me or you don't love me is not going to, I mean, and we all like to be liked, but it cannot dictate to me how good I feel about myself or I don't. You see what I'm saying? See, that's why it's so important that we get rid of the rejection and we quit feeding it, okay? Because then we can stand independent of man and only dependent on God. See, my dependence should not be on any of you. It should be only on him, all right? That's kind of what I'm talking about here. Okay, and that's where the self-hatred and self-rejection can come in. Hatred maybe is a strong word, but you're still operating with a little bit of that poison, you see? How much arsenic is it going to take till, you see what I'm saying? So you're drinking all this poison, even if it's in small measures, and eventually it begins to affect the body. So as we continue then to attack ourselves spiritually with things such as self-rejection, self-hatred, self-bitterness, the body will finally begin to agree. And this is medically proven too, folks. Okay, and then all of a sudden your white corpuscles begin to attack the body. There is an immune suppression or a deficiency. Autoimmune diseases are primarily a self-hatred disease with a fear, anxiety, and stress rider attached to them. All right? So if you deal with like almost like chronic stuff, maybe you need to back up and realize that. Number one, you need to repent. Repentance is so good. The reason repentance is so good is for this reason here. I was looking for my pen here. But any repentance cancels out legal rights of the enemy. All right? So if I say, okay, God, I ask you to forgive me of this, that even when we do iniquities, we have people repent of their iniquities from their past. Not that you're repenting for your past generations. You're repenting over this thing that's gotten its way in there. You're getting the blood of Jesus on it, all right? So number one, if we will then begin to repent for not liking ourselves, for walking in this fear and this anxiety, then we can begin to start moving that stuff out of our lives. So when there are these things in operation, though, the body then, you've sent your body a message, by the way, and it begins to slowly attack the body because the person themselves is attacking themselves, all right? So quit attacking yourselves. Examine yourself, because I know there's a lot of people, here, even here today, you have such an unworthy identity and perspective of yourself as a believer, worst of all, okay? But you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You see, your worthiness is not about how worthy you think you are or how worthy you can act out, how worthy you can go about doing things. Your worthiness is about Jesus. He was worthy for you. That exchange again, that substitute, all right? If I could have got worthy on myself at all, even this little, smallest, minute part of me, I wouldn't have needed Jesus, but I couldn't, so I had to take the exchange. I had to take the substitute, and y'all have to take that substitute just as much as I do. See, so it's a choice, but once you do that, you need to stop seeing yourself as unrighteous. Okay, the body attacks the body because the person is attacking themselves spiritually in these three areas of self-conflict, the self-rejection, the self-hatred, and the self-bitterness, then coupled with guilt. See why you don't want the guilt? Guilt is another thing that weighs you down. You know, I've told the story about when I went to the doctor with my son right after we moved here, when he had the Percy's disease, and we had to get him back into another orthopedic doctor. And the doctor here, the first one I saw, gave me such a bad report, said we had a number four. He just tore up my faith. And it was literally just like that doctor took and put me under his thumb. And that's when I got mad. And I did walk out of that office angry, okay? Not, you know, I always say the doctor made me mad, but I really wasn't as mad at the doctor as I was mad at the stinking devil. Because I said no. You see, well, guilt does that same thing to you. See, and that's why you want to get guilt off you. I don't care if you've made mistakes. Jesus paid for them on the cross. Okay? So you either can be weighed under them or you can accept the fact that he took it and get it off of you. So you can start functioning and operating and moving forward. All right? Okay, the person's spirit also produces feelings of not being loved, not being accepted, and as the person continues to attack themselves spiritually, the body finally agrees and the white corpuscles are invisibly redirected to attack living tissue while ignoring the true enemy, which is bacteria and viruses in our body. See, and that's how it works, because the immune system is so broken down, you have sent confusion into your system. See, we confuse ourselves when God says we're worthy and we say we're not. When God says you're accepted and we say I'm rejected. But I have all these feelings, God. God tells you not to walk by your feelings, doesn't he? So you've sent confusion literally into your system, and all of a sudden your immune system doesn't even know what to do. And it was made to attack these viruses. It was made to attack bacteria and annihilate it, but all of a sudden it's attacking you instead. Those are autoimmune diseases, and they're very prevalent in this country today. Why? Because you're confusing your identity. You're confusing who you are. So it's invisibly redirected to attack living tissue while ignoring its true enemy, again, which is a bacteria and the virus. And that's a high price to pay for not loving yourself. And to put it in a different perspective, that's a high price for not accepting who you are in the Lord. Remember, if you're more concerned about other people loving you and liking you, and we do get there. I mean, we do that. But most important, get yourself redirected. God loves me. So therefore, I am okay. The autoimmune diseases are not the result of a lack of white corpuscles. The autoimmune diseases are when the white corpuscles attack living flesh and then begin to destroy it, or the tissue. Lupus, Crohn's disease, diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, MS, cancer, scleroderma, there's lots of different things, are examples of the list of autoimmune diseases. But I want to go a little bit farther than just autoimmune diseases. Do you have a poor immune system? See, that's that same type of stuff working out. The stress you live under, what are you carrying? We need to get it off. We need to get it off. Do you know, when I went through deliverance, I felt younger. I didn't get as tired, you know? I mean, I had more vitality. Spiritual forces that work to deplete you wear this physical body down. That, you know, Jesus said, these signs will follow them that believe. And this is the first thing he said. In my name, they will cast out demons. That ought to tell us in order what we ought to be dealing with first of all. Do you know the church world used to deal with that? First thing, they get new believers in and they start teaching them to get that off. I walked under a spirit of rejection for the majority of my life till finally somebody told me it's a spirit of rejection, and I thought it was just my personality. It wasn't. It was a personality of an enemy called rejection. You see? So you start, once I got rid of that thing, I was able then to lay hold more and more of who God called me to be. Okay, a quote from Henry Wright in his book, A More Excellent Way, and I see I've got people here that don't normally come. That's a good book to read, and what it does is it gives you the roots of disease, the spiritual root of disease, in other words, okay? He says, even though the medical community has the medical community now associates autoimmune diseases, and these all those that I just read, with fear, anxiety, and stress, he says, I have come to the conclusion that most autoimmune diseases are primarily the result of an unloving spirit producing feelings of not being loved, not being accepted, not being of value, of self-rejection, of self-hate, and self-bitterness, and then it's coupled with guilt. See why guilt, again, has to go. We all make mistakes in this life. Why do we make mistakes? Because we are raised in an unperfect world, aren't we? By unperfect parents. So until I finally will own the responsibility of change, nothing's changing. Okay, I can't go back and change mom and dad, because it's already been done. But I can change me. All right? All right. Okay. Yeah, I just said that. Okay, I'm going to read you some stuff on what's called an unloving spirit. And it's referred to this. And actually, this is a quote again from Henry Wright. Okay, an antichrist loving spirit. Why would he call it an antichrist spirit? Because it's against everything God made. Unloving spirits are totally against who God made you to be. See, not loving yourself is antichrist, because Christ loves you, doesn't he? And he made you for a purpose. So these unloving spirits are antichrist unloving spirits. He says the antichrist unloving spirit has a plan to destroy a person in spirit, body, and soul. It brings a torment to man or woman as no other spirit is able to accomplish. It prevents one from giving love to others, and it also prevents them from receiving love. And another way to examine and see if you have that is, can you freely accept people coming up to you and hugging you and loving you without pushing them back, or without feeling there's a motive behind it, or being fearful and distrustful, you see? So you have to learn what's in operation that's out there, okay? An unloving spirit is just the opposite of all that God has ordained us to be. We are to love God, love others, and then love ourselves. The unloving spirit's work, his work, is to separate us then from God, from ourselves, and from others. You know, how are we separated from God in that? We can say, I know I'm the righteousness of God, but I still don't think God wants to bless me. Now, I know he wants to bless Pastor Evelyn and Gail and Cindy, but I don't know about me. You see what I'm saying? So it puts you in a place of separating from God. I have put myself over here as one that God doesn't love as much as he did these. Okay, you just separated yourself from God, and you allowed that antichrist spirit then to operate. Okay, and then it says it also wants to separate you from yourself. Again, that's that reasoning where you're always doubting, I'm not good enough, or I can't do, I'm not smart enough. Okay? We judge ourselves and think, okay, I didn't get educated over here, so I'm not as good as you are. Okay? So that's separating ourselves from ourselves, and the fact that we are not seeing our value of who we are in Christ Jesus. And do you know, I have watched people with almost no education become some of the most successful people there are on the face of the earth. You see, but it's beginning to have faith in themselves and not separating themselves from who God made them be. You can watch people go through all sorts of things financially and get back up and keep going and then get even better. You see, and then you can watch some people go through things financially and stay down. Stay down. They don't get up. See, but we can get up. We were made, remember, to thrive, not survive. not to stay down. Okay, so that spirit of the Antichrist will endeavor. I'm going to quit here pretty soon. And actually, next week, I think I'm actually going to do some corporate deliverance with this particular series. The unliving spirit works to separate us from God, from self, and others. And then we begin to reject others, or we begin to expect rejection from them. How does the unloving spirit find his way into our life? The Antichrist unloving spirit works in all of the strong men, and particularly bitterness and rejection. Those are, and by the way, rejection is a very, very strong spirit. It's would be definitely, and one of the reasons that you can know that it is such a strong man is Jesus had to meet him face to face at the cross, didn't he? Okay, he was rejected of man. And what did he do when he met them at the cross? It says he made a bold display of them. He disarmed them, and he triumphed over them in the cross. Okay, so that's a strong man. Bitterness and unforgiveness. Literally, Jesus literally looked out upon the people and said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. When bitterness or rejection comes into one's life, somewhere down the road, one begins to reject themselves and feel bitterness towards themselves on the inside. See, if you're always condemning yourself, you really have a root of bitterness towards yourself. If you're always angry at yourself, if you're always just under this guilt or shame or thinking, I'm bad, you're allowing self-bitterness to root towards yourself. This is an unloving spirit. And then it allows the unliving spirit to begin to work in your life. Also, the unloving spirit might be in your life because it was with you generation past and wants to continue its ugly work in you. And that's another interesting thing. And I would believe probably most of us have that from the generations. See, I could honestly say I probably was born with a spirit, you know, and it didn't manifest right away, but these were generational things in our family, bitterness, unforgiveness, rejection. So we received them all generationally, and then they grew and grew and grew and grew and became strong because there were setups all the way through my life of being rejected, of being hurt, of being raised by an angry, bitter father. You see what I'm saying? So irregardless how it came in, we need to see that those are things that have done nothing but to set you up to withhold from you the destiny God has for you. All right? Every one of you need to start seeing yourself as a mighty man and woman of God who has the ability and the capability to be successful in every area of your life. And that doesn't mean you might have some, you might, you know, get shot at a few times and stumble, but you don't give up. You keep pressing, you keep putting, you should be in this class all the time, getting freer and freer. And then you need to keep putting the word in, the word in, the word in, so you begin to see who you are in Christ. Change your identity. See, a lot of us have an identity, especially until we walk through some of this stuff and then start putting it in. We don't see ourselves of that great value. But see, you need the identity, okay, of who you are in Christ. Let me see what else I want to read. Okay, so you might have got it from the generations. Abuse can bring unloving spirits into your life, and that could be emotional, physical, spiritual. Maybe you have lived with another person who is full of the unloving spirit, and now you are sane and experiencing the same as that person. You know, and a lot of times we are in situations that other people can influence us, and all of a sudden, we have to look at ourselves and see we're acting like the person we probably can't stand the most, or the person actually who might be abusing us. You know, I think, well, husbands need to love their wives, and wives need to love their husbands. We need to not be mean, ever mean to each other. We need to always be kind. Okay, what is an Antichrist unloving spirit? Unloving is the spirit who does not want you to be touched, hugged, kissed, loved, feel accepted, or receive any affection which would make you feel loved. That spirit also does not want you to be able to give true love to yourself, to others, or God. Okay, here are some of the thoughts that you might have. You might have, well, we already talked about them. I'm a loser. I've made all these mistakes. Nobody likes me. You know, we judge what other people think. We are filtering them through our own negative thoughts that we've been that have been embedded actually within us. They also, we feel unworthy. Also, there could be some place where there's been a hurt in your life that it's basically unexplainable, but being devastated, maybe, and I'm going to go into some of the things that open doors, sexual abuse as a child, physical abuse, any types of abuse always can cause that. But again, when you can recognize that this is why it's here, but I have a right to get it out of my life. It's actually trespassing on property that belongs to God. These spirits do, all right? So therefore, when God said, if it's trespassing on land that belongs to God, God told the Israelites, so that's what we need to do. You're to go in and do what with the land? Possess it. Okay? So if there's areas of my life that are have these things because of where, you know, if you go back and you study Israel, when Israel went into the promised land, there were all sorts of territory out there where demonic gods had, like the God of the Philistines and Canaanites and all that, had all gone in and were occupying that land. Okay? So when God told the Israelites to go in and take that land to possess it, they had to dispossess those demonic forces, didn't they? They had to dispossess who was there. And the word possess, it's interesting, means to dispossess, all right? But in this place here, this land right here, okay, we're all made out of dirt. This land right here, I'm supposed to go in and possess and dispossess where the enemy has ever gotten any access into my life to raise itself up as a god. See, now I might not have a Philistine god, but I might have a god of unworthiness or self-hatred or selfishness. Because see, all of this self-protectiveness, those are things that whatever we allow to control our lives, all right? So there are things that you may need to dispossess. Okay, a sign of the unloving spirit's presence. The unloving spirit is very selfish. It's always focusing on myself. Now, if all you ever focus on is you, my mistakes, what I've done wrong, I wasn't a good enough mom, I wasn't a good enough dad, I'm not a good enough child, I wasn't smart in school, I, me. You see how that's a perverted God that we let it be self? See, introvertedly, it's not a pride well like, oh, I'm better than all of you. It's like, I'm worse than all of you. But it's still a focus on me, isn't it? You see, so it becomes like a false God. It's just turned one way or the other. So it could be a selfish spirit. And you know, in that selfishness too, people become like, I've got to make sure I have, because nobody else is going to look out for me. So we try to gather things to ourselves too, or we try to control people around us so nothing is out of control for me, because my life has been so dysfunctional, and I don't want this to happen to this person here or my son or my daughter, because if it happens to them, it's going to hurt me. See, it's still a self-focus, isn't it? On how. So those are things that we begin to control everything around us so that we can protect us even more so than the other person, because it's our dysfunction. Okay, so it's a selfish spirit, always focusing on itself. It's hard also to see anybody else. You're always taking care of yourself, all of your needs, and all of your problems. And okay, in that too, this is something I had to learn. Your children are your children. But by trying to control your children, you're really just trying to control your things for yourself, your needs, your problems. You see what I'm saying? You know, I used to always be fearful of my kids not doing everything perfect. Or I shouldn't even say perfect, just having bad stuff happen to them. So I always tried to keep them like in my little box. And my little box became a very controlling box. And you know what? That does damage. It doesn't do good. You have to let them be allowed to breathe and to learn how to look to God too, not just you as their source. It's almost like we make them, ourselves, their protector or whatever. And I'm not telling you not that we shouldn't discipline children, but we shouldn't control them either. Okay, this personality of an unloving spirit goes farther than self-rejection, self-hatred, and bitterness. It's double-minded, and the Antichrist spirit will drive a person into perfectionism, drivenness. They'll always look for love and acceptance. He will push one into self-exaltation and bitterness and triteness. On one side of your life, you are experiencing self-bitterness, self-rejection, self-hatred, and then out in the marketplace, the false personality of self-exaltation, being a perfectionist, and you have to be number one. And do you ever see how that operates? Do you know a spirit of rejection, they believe literally in studies that it is not medically. But the thing with medicine is they remove spiritual forces, and if they would let that in there, they could figure out a whole lot more, couldn't they? You see? But in schizophrenia, they believe that schizophrenia comes out of a spirit of rejection. Now think about this. The person can be just calm and fine and then flip right out. You see, you got the dual personality. Jesus talks about a double personality in the book of James, about not being double-minded. You know, can we be, what is the mind? The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. And can we be double-minded? Yeah, we can. We can believe God for this, but then all of a sudden we have absolutely no faith for this. Or we believe God for something, we're back and forth and back and forth because we got one part of us trying to believe and the other part saying, nope, that ain't going to happen. You see? So how does that come in there like that? It's literally a lot out of the spirit of rejection. Because one part of you wants to accept what Christ has done for you, and the other part of you says, no, he won't do it. See? And that's kind of where that comes out of. But they say that that is a root of schizophrenia. And I believe that, of course, once a schizophrenic spirit is released into a family, it can go generation to generation. But I believe that there can be different levels of schizophrenia. And I think sometimes you can have severe cases of it, but then you can have some that aren't as severe. Okay, Galatians 5:14. This scripture gives instruction that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. The unloving spirit demands that we do not love, and therefore you are unable to fulfill God's word. This is the plan of the enemy because he is against all that God says and stands for, because he is Antichrist. He is against Christ and wants to take the place of God in your life. How does the devil, this Antichrist spirit, take the place of God in your life? By you bowing your knee more to the unworthiness and the rejection than the acceptance and the righteousness of who you're in Christ. Okay? God does not respect one person above another. He loves all people. He does not love our sin, but he hates sin because sin is disobedience and rebellion toward him, the one who made us. God is ready to forgive us quickly. I mean, all we got to do is go to him. As we forgive others and repent of our sins, he forgives us. Understanding God's heart of love helps us to see truth, especially when we can read it in the Word of God. What you need to do is you can have a feeling of one thing, but you always put the truth out, and then you make that decision. I'm going to believe this. And you know you can talk to yourself. Do you know you like to hear yourself talk to yourself? You really do. You should encourage yourself. Seriously, David did in the Bible, didn't he? He said, so why are you so down? Why are you impressed? In other words, get up. You know, sometimes you need to say, okay, I'm just going to rejoice in you, God. Everything around me can just be going, but your word says to give thanks. So, Bev, you're going to give thanks today. And I might not verbally say it out loud. Sometimes you should do that too. But even on the inside. So you need to start speaking to yourself, and you need to tell yourself, straighten up, stop this now. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. You know, or you need to say, okay, I'm supposed to, Bev, you're supposed to bring those thoughts into obedience. Those negative thoughts you were thinking on, you know, get them in alignment. What does he say? You've been praying for discerning, and now you see what it is. What are you going to do with that? See, tell yourself, straighten up. Quit giving over to it. All right? It's kind of like you can be sick, 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 sick. When are you going to get up and start telling yourself you're healed, you're healed, you're healed, you're healed, and body get in alignment? See what I'm saying? Start. You can talk to yourself. You can start telling yourself even of your great value to God, because faith comes from what? Mm-hmm. So should you hear what God says about you? You can either say, well, I can't do this, or everybody else is going to be successful, but I'm not, because nothing goes right for me. And there, I got this curse operating against me, and this curse just keeps operating and operating. Really? He was made a curse for us. So therefore, curse, you don't have it right here. So I'm speaking to you right now, and I'm commanding you to leave in the name of Jesus. And I say that I am the blessed. That's who I am. I am blessed, and I am prospered, and I'm healed, and I'm delivered, and I'm free, and I'm successful. Period. And people need me because God needs me. And I'm part of the answer on this earth for these last days. I'm not part of the problem. I'm part of the answer. See, and the more you start weeding out this garden, this person here, and start putting in the good seed of God's word, then you become who he called you to be. And then all the plans and all the schemes that the enemy has had against you, they just get annihilated. Takes some work. Takes work. We have to do it, but it works, okay? I'm going to quit, and then we're gonna pray for you if you want to come up to the altar today. So, Father, right now, I thank you, God, that you are changing people, that, Lord, you are causing people to rise up, to see who they are. You are causing your people to refuse what the enemy has had in plan in store for them in the name of Jesus. I declare, Father, that your people will come up to the forefront, and they will walk in their healing, they'll walk in their provision, they'll walk in their freedom, they'll walk in all that you've provided on the cross, Father. And Father, we declare today that we are the healed, we are the whole, we are sound, we are rich, we are blessed. God, we are a force on this earth to be reckoned with. God, we are a blessing to others. We're a blessing to you, God. You love us. And God, thank you that you are proud of us. Thank you that our lives bless you, Lord. And I thank you, Jesus, that I'm a victor. I'm no longer a victim. I am victorious in Christ Jesus. I'm a new creation. These old things really have been destroyed and pass away. And I will stand up and enforce the victory of the cross in Jesus' name. Amen.